220.
Fit to take her home to heaven, so we want to pray for her and her family, and we will let you know more details when we get them as far as when the service will be and where it will be and all of that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Lance, would you be kind enough to lead us?
Father, we thank you for just
be seated. Let's take our hymn books once again and turn to 237. 237. Tell it to Jesus.
So after this morning's service at 12:30, Lord willing, we'll have a wedding. So everybody that wasn't here at Sunday school, you're invited to stay for Brother Jim and Sister Donna as we perform the wedding for them. Also, Saturday, July 3rd, so that's coming up quick here. We're going to have a 4th of July picnic over at Caddy Park from 12 to 4. Lord willing, have a sign-up sheet over here if you plan on coming. Just sign up on a sign-up sheet so we know how many hamburgers and hot dogs and things to get from the church. And then also I want to plug in, too, also, if anybody's interested, this Thursday, again, we're going to do some, just holding up some scripture signs at Front Street and Pine Street from 6 to 7. So if you're interested in that, just let me know. And we'll be gathering together to head over there, just hold up for an hour, just hold up some scripture signs, just to deal with some individuals about where they stand with God. So that's all I have.
All right. The only other thing that Pastor mentioned in Sunday school that he didn't this time is those little red booklets that we're using for our scripture memory. Some didn't receive those yet, and we ordered more, but they're not here yet. Hopefully, they'll be here this week, and we'll continue that study. All right, let's turn to 239. 239. A little talk with Jesus makes it right, all right.
Jesus makes it right, all right. Jesus as my friend. I'll prove until the end. A little talk with Jesus makes it right, all right. A little talk with Jesus makes it right, all right. A little talk with Jesus makes it right, all right. It drives out every kind. Praise God, I always find. A little talk with Jesus makes it right, all right.
All right. One more song before the special and the message. 368. If you're able to stand, let's do so one more time. 368.
Do you have peace with God this morning? That's the question. This morning, you're free. So this morning, I'm going to continue on the little study we've been doing on why the church has lost its power. And again, I'm not talking about Ray Street Baptist Church. I'm talking about the church as a whole, the body of believers who truly have been born again, who truly know Jesus Christ as their Savior, who have truly been converted into the kingdom of our dear God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And so what we're going to look at this morning, I had started on Wednesday evening. Wednesday evenings, we try to have a little Bible study, but I think one of the main primary reasons for Wednesday night is a time for prayer.
You know, if you have an opportunity, I know circumstances are different in everybody's lives. But if you can be at church on Wednesday night, it's important if you can be. Not because a preacher, again, I'm not looking at no numbers, and I'm not saying it because I desire numbers on Wednesday night. I know Wednesday nights are very difficult to try to get to church, but I believe it's important. And I don't think I'd be a good pastor to say that you shouldn't try to be on church on Wednesday night. Right? My view is if the church doors are open, you should be here. That's just my view as a preacher. And I held that view when I sat in the pew for 26 years or 20-some years. So it ain't no different what I believed on the pew as I do as a preacher. I believe the doors are open. I believe you should be in church. Why? Because I believe you need it. Not that you need anything I got to say. But you need one another. You need what God can give you. And we need prayer. You see, we can't just go through the motions. Listen, brethren, I believe this with all my heart, with all my soul. The days are getting darker and darker. Listen, I got a little news article somebody gave me right before service here today. Listen, days are getting darker and darker. You can have a hard time. You say, well, preacher, I'll make it. You ain't going to make it without the brethren. We need one another. Sheep need one another. Any sheep that tries to go off by itself is not going to last very long. I want you to do a lesson. You tell me the defense mechanism of a sheep. What are the defense mechanisms of a sheep? Listen, if you're born again tonight, you're a sheep. If you're a sheep this morning, you can't run very fast. At least not faster than a bobcat. If you want to put a race, I'm going to put my bet on that bobcat that he's going to get that sheep, and the sheep's not going to get away. You need one another. We need one another, and we need prayer today. We need prayer. So take your Bible and look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Well, first, let's look over at the book of James. Flip over to the book of James, chapter number 5, and look at verse number 16. James chapter 5 and verse number 16. Look what the Bible says here in James 5:16. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Confess your faults one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for your mercy, your grace, your goodness. Lord, I just ask for your wisdom and guidance, Lord, just direction this morning. Lord, help me to say exactly what you have me to say, Lord. Guide my thoughts. Lord, I pray that you be glorified. Lord, I pray that we'd have a desire to draw closer to you, Lord. Help us to stay faithful in these last days that we're living in. Lord, that we wouldn't fall away. Lord, that we wouldn't forget that we are purged from our old sins, dear God. Lord, that we wouldn't be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to stir up our minds. Lord, I pray you would stir up our minds this morning. I pray you'd stir up our hearts, dear God, that we would really examine ourselves and see what we really do place the emphasis on. Because you see all, Father, and I ask just for your guidance and direction now. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. The Bible says here in James that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God desires for us to pray effectually. God desires for our prayers to have an effect. But you see, our prayers aren't going to have an effect if, number one, if there's sin in our life. If there's sin in our life and we're not doing exactly what we know we ought to be doing and we have not made it right with our Savior, you can pray all day long, but until that thing's made right with God, your prayers are going no higher than this ceiling. Take your Bible and look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Why is it that individuals always wait till things get really bad or things are really serious before they ask for prayer? Why is it that people always wait till things are very serious or very difficult in their life that all of a sudden they call up and say, will you pray for me? Why do we wait for times in our life to where it gets really bad before we really start seeking God? Why don't we seek God when things are going really well and spend time with Him in prayer? The Bible says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 1, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you, but I beseech you that I may be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." But look at verse number 3 this evening, or this morning. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." You see, this morning, I looked at this, forgive me for those that were here Wednesday night. I'm going to repeat a little bit getting started this morning. You see, our battles this morning and throughout this week, if God should allow us to so tarry, our battles are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. The Bible says here in chapter 10, verse number 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Take your Bible and look at Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 1. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1. Romans 8, verse number 1. The Bible says here in verse number 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Look what it says, "who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in a likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Why? Verse number 4. "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." You see, Jesus Christ came to this earth. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, this morning, any religion, any organization, any church that teaches that you have to work your way into heaven is going against very scripture. You cannot keep the law of God. It is impossible. In the book of James, it says that if you break one of the laws of God, you're guilty of all the laws of God. If you've lied once in your life, you are now eternally guilty because of the sin you committed with that one law you broke. The Bible says here, there's no condemnation. There's no judgment that's going to come down upon an individual that has placed his faith, his trust, his belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been truly born again of God by His Holy Spirit, you've been converted, you've been translated from light or from darkness to light, as the song says in Amazing Grace, "I once was blind, but now I see." If you're now in Christ Jesus, there's no more condemnation. Do you see this morning that if you're in Christ Jesus, you have fulfilled the law of God? You've fulfilled it. Every law that God commanded for man to keep, you have fulfilled this morning in Christ Jesus. You're now in Him, and He is now in you, and you are now complete spiritually in Christ Jesus. But guess what? You still have your flesh. You still have your flesh to deal with. And that's where a lot of people get a little squirrely on this thing. They get a little squirrely because they think, "Preacher, well, I know I still sin. I know I still do wrong, so how can I still be saved?" You're still saved because you're in Christ Jesus. Your flesh has yet to be redeemed. Your soul has already been redeemed. And the Bible says in Ephesians, you're seated with Him in heavenly places. Brethren, you want to know something crazy this morning? Wild? You wanted some wild, crazy stuff this morning? That we're right now, if you're saved right now, you are now seated in heavenly places. You right now are in heaven in Christ Jesus. Amen. You know another crazy thing? You read through the book of Revelation, and John looks out and he sees all those people praising the Father. If you're saved, you're in that crowd. Don't ask me how. Don't come up to me after service. Say, preacher, can you explain that a little more? I can't. I have no idea. But I know when John saw that holy multitude out there, if you're saved, you were there. You see, because he's the God of the past, he's the God of the present, he's the God of the future. He's always been and always will be. Look, brethren, my prayer this morning as a preacher is for you to get a hold of that this life is only this big. What matters, what you do in this little time period is going to be evident all through eternity. What you place the emphasis on for the short years you have on this life, are you going to regret it when you get over to that other side? Are you going to get over to the other side and say, I wish I would have listened. I wish I would have spent more time with Jesus. I wish I would have spent more time in prayer. I wish I would have done more for my King. But see, once you get over there, it's going to be wonderful, but it'll be too late to do anything more for your King. Because over there, you'll automatically do right. Because everything will be perfect. There'll be no more struggle with the flesh over there. You see, as you say, preacher, why did God leave me in this flesh? For you to lay up reward. You see, if you're saved this morning, you now have a governor inside you that can now, through the power of the Holy Spirit now dwelling within you, you now can do the right thing. You now have the power to do the right thing through Jesus Christ. There's no more excuse. Do you understand this morning? There's no more excuse. If you're saved this morning, you have no more excuse before God. Well, I just can't help it that I'm nasty my wife sometimes. I just go off. I can't help it, preacher. If you're saved, you should be able to help it. I'm being serious this morning now, brother. I ain't playing no games. If you can't help it, you ain't saved. Because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. Now, will there be a struggle? Absolutely. But the ability to do so is there. Well, preacher, I can't just stop looking at that pornography. Then I have to question, are you saved or not? Because the power is there to do so. Brethren, we can't... Listen now, brethren, I'm being serious and I'm not being mean. I'm not being mean. I love you this morning. I love you. But we can't keep using the past as a crutch. Well, I was raised this way, and it's just the way it's got to be because it was the way I was raised, so I can't help how I am. My father was a drunk, so I'm just going to be a drunk. Nonsense. May you have more of a struggle and are more apt to be drawn to that? Yes, absolutely. But if you're saved this morning, Christ Jesus can deliver you. He can deliver you. He can give you victory. Why do we sing that song, "Oh, victory in Jesus," if victory can't be had? I'm going to prove my point by scripture this morning. I'm afraid the reason why some of us don't get victories is because we live in the flesh and we're carnal. We feed more of our flesh and more of our desires and then we wonder why we don't get the victory. And why God doesn't hear prayer and why God doesn't move in our services and why God doesn't move upon the lost loved ones that are in our lives. Because we're living carnal. We're babes in Christ. Paul rebuked those there. He said, I can't speak to you. You're a babe. You're worried about nonsense little things and you ain't taking care of the things that are needful. You see, we get a lot of Bible knowledge, but do we spend that much time in prayer and on our knees before God? Bible knowledge will only carry you so far. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. Look what he says here in verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh, they that are after the flesh, do what? They do mind the things of the flesh. You'll know an individual when you're around them long enough out here in this world what they put the emphasis on real quick. You'll know what they like. You know what they'll spend their time with. Why? Because the Bible says here, they that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They're going to talk about the things of the flesh. But there's very few people out there that you're going to get around that are going to do the second part of verse number 5. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. How good it is sometimes to get around with some brethren and just talk about how good God's been. Verse number 6, for to be carnally minded is death. For to be carnally minded is death. Carnally means this, according to the flesh, in a manner to gratify the flesh or sensual desires. You want to know what carnality is? It's anything that you do to try to desire, to try to gratify the desires of your flesh. Now, I said on Wednesday night, there are some good fleshly desires. God's given us them and they're right to be enjoyed in the right context. Food is something that's carnal that God's given to us to enjoy. There's nothing wrong with having a favorite dish that you like or a favorite dessert that you like. That's good. That's enjoyable. That's not spiritual. You don't sit down if you like cheesecake and say, well, I'm getting ready to eat my spiritual cheesecake to help me spiritually. No, it's a fleshly, physical thing that you enjoy, and it's right and it's correct. And thank God he's given us taste buds. You see, God, think how good God is. He did not have to give us taste buds. He could have just said, here's food, eat it. And there could have been no enjoyment in it. But our God is so good. You say, preacher, you're crazy. I'm absolutely crazy. I'm crazy about God. You see, he gave you taste buds. Think of how much he loves you. He put taste buds right there to where you can put food in and taste four different types of tastes. Sweet, sour, bitter, and sweet. How wonderful God is. And the minutest details he thinks about when he created man, he says, you know what? I'm going to put some taste buds there on that tongue to where when they eat food, not only do they just have to eat it to live, they can enjoy it. I thank God for my taste buds. I knew a man that one of my friends in church, his father, lost all taste, couldn't taste no food. And he almost went into a depression, a legitimate depression. Because I felt so bad for the man, he could no longer taste food. Think of how, when you've had a cold or been really sick and you go to eat something, you have no clue what you're eating. That's miserable. Taste buds. It's something that God's given us to enjoy. The marriage bedroom is right in marriage, and God's given that to you to enjoy in the right way in a marriage. But it's something that's fleshly, it's something that's pleasurable, it's something that God's given us if it's done in the right way. So there are some things that are carnal that are right. But what Paul's saying here to the Romans in verse number 6 in chapter 8, he says, for to be carnally minded is death. If you continually just try to please your flesh, you're going to die. Not just outwardly, but inwardly. You know why so many people in this county, in this township, in this state are so miserable this morning? They're dead inside. They've tried everything to please the flesh. Everything's let them down, and now they're just a miserable individual to be around. Nothing can make them happy no more. Why? Because they're carnal. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. Look what spiritual mindedness will produce is life and peace. You say, preacher, I don't have peace this morning. It's because you're not spiritually minded. If you're spiritually minded, the Bible says you'll have life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. You see, the carnal mind this morning is in an opposite direction of what God desires. To be carnally minded is to be an enemy of God. Is in be complete opposition to God. Why? Because it says, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Look at verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh, listen, look what verse 8 says. You want to underline it, you want to highlight it. There's a verse to highlight in the Bible. So then they are in the flesh cannot please God. Anything you do in the power of your flesh is not please God. Because you're doing it. You're doing it. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is God doing stuff in your life? Or are you trying to do it in your own power to be spiritual? Are you trying to be spiritual with your own power, with your own might, with your own strength? Or can you testify and say, yeah, preacher, I can't do it. I realize I can't do it. But I've known that God's come in and just swept me up sometimes and just helped me in some of these situations that without him, I couldn't have done it. To be carnally minded is death. Verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be it that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Look at verse 12. Therefore, because of these things, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, look, this is what we need to do. Verse number, chapter 8, verse 13. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You want life this morning? Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to help you to mortify the deeds of the body. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified, be also glorified together. Can you cry out, Abba, Father, this morning? Have you been adopted? Do you have the spirit of adoption dwelling within you to where his spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God? I don't want to know if you prayed a prayer. I don't want to know you've been baptized. I want to know that you know you've been trained, you've been changed, you've been transformed, you've been converted, you've been saved, you've been born again, and his spirit bears witness with your spirit. That's a serious question this morning. You say, well, preacher, I've been baptized. I don't care if you've been baptized. Baptism does nothing for you. You go down a dry sinner and you'll come up a wet sinner. Water baptism does absolutely nothing for you. It's only a public testimony of what's occurred on the inside. Are you really saved? Are you really saved? Have you been baptized on the inside? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away, all things become new. Salvation's not in water baptism. If salvation's in water baptism, why did Jesus Christ die on a cross? If water baptism saves, why did Jesus Christ die on a cross? You know why I know water baptism doesn't save? Because there's some churches out there that preach that. Look at Colossians. I think it's Colossians. No, actually, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. You know why I don't believe in water baptism that it saves? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 17. Actually, look at verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 13. Look what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius. Lest any should say I had baptized in my own name. And I baptize also the household of Stephanas, besides I know not whether I baptize any other. Look at verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made in effect. If baptism is necessary for salvation, why in the world would Paul say, for Christ sent me not to baptize? You see, the baptism that matters is the baptism that occurs inside. Have you been made a new creature in Jesus Christ? Take your Bible, look at Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16. You say, preacher, I thought you were going to talk about prayer this morning. I am talking about prayer this morning. You see, you can't pray if you're carnally minded. If you're living in the flesh, you're living in carnality, your prayers are not going to do much for the kingdom of God. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16. This I say then, Paul says to the church there in Galatia, he says in verse 16 of chapter 5, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I told you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Lasciviousness means this. It means looseness. It means irregular indulgences of animal desires. It means lustfulness. Witchcraft means this. The practice of witches, sorcery, enchantments, intercourse with the devil, power more than natural. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you put in through your ear gate and your eye gate. There's a lot of stuff out there today on television, in movies, for kids, for adults, that's witchcraft. You want to say, why the church ain't got no power? Why there's no power in my life? Because there's witchcraft involved. You see, the devil's a sly individual. A lot of people picture him as the devil all red with horns, and he's got the tail and he's got hoof feet. No, the devil is an angel that can transform himself, well, he can transform himself into an angel of light. Now listen to me this morning. I pray you listen to what I got to say. Somebody sent me something this week about a young man that went to heaven. A young boy. And right away I knew you didn't go to heaven, young man. You know why? You know what he said when he went to heaven, what he saw? He said, I saw fairies by Jesus. There are no fairies by Jesus. Listen, angels don't have wings. The only thing that has wings in the Bible are unclean spirits. I believe in the book of Ezekiel, when the top's taken off of a pot and the talent taken off, and out of it come two women, little women with wings. And they're evil spirits in a book. I believe it's a book of Ezekiel. So this Disney nonsense of pixie dust or whatever, that's a fairy. That's a witch. That's a devil. I didn't mean to talk about this morning at all. You say, preacher, it's innocent. It's not innocent. It's not innocent. It's not innocent. The devil wants to get the heart of our children. The devil wants to get the heart, our heart. You say, preacher, well, I don't do anything on that list, but do you watch things that do? The book of Romans chapter 1 has another list, and at the very end of that list it says that have pleasure and then that do them also. Brother, I didn't mean to talk about any of this morning. What are we putting in? Because it'll affect our spiritual walk. Look, I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. I won't give you a dime for Disney. Would you let Walt Disney come in here and preach to you if he's still alive? No? Why not? Why wouldn't you have Walt Disney come here and preach? But it's okay for him to preach at your home? Brother, I love you. But the devil wants to destroy things. He wants to destroy it. You say, preacher, you're crazy. Okay, just think I'm crazy. But then go look at the effects of it. You want to know the effects of it? How can you have two women now are claimed or crowned prom king and prom queen in our local high school? How did it get to that point? How did it get to that point? Because we've dropped the ball as a church. We've dropped the ball. We've dropped the ball, and we're going to be held accountable for it, brethren. And if you hate me the rest of your life, you say, I can't stand this preacher. I hate him. I'll never come back here again. I still got to tell you the truth. Paul said to the Galatians, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? The church has got to wake up. How do we get to a point to where women or boys are wanting to wear dresses? How do we get to the point that where a young man wants to wear a dress and we condemn him if he does? Just think about it. Don't be a hypocrite now. I love you. I love you. But I got to preach what God puts on my heart. And I want to see Rate Street Baptist Church. I want to see it take off. But it takes some self-examination. Don't get on no boy about wearing no skirt. I love you. I love you. But God requires a difference. He requires his people to be a peculiar people. Do you not think people today look at Jews as weirdos? I'm talking about Orthodox Jews. I'm not talking about the wicked Jews out there. There's a lot of wicked Jews out there. Hollywood's made up of Jews who have put off a lot of wicked stuff. I wouldn't step foot in Tel Aviv over there in Jerusalem because it's nothing but a sodomite pit. There's a lot of wickedness with the Jewish people. But there's also a lot of Jewish people that strive to love God the way they think they ought to love God. And they look different. And they act different. And people make fun of them. They get persecuted for it. You say, preacher, you're crazy. Fine, think I'm crazy. But I know what God says. And we often scratch our heads and say, how can two women get together and kiss? And how can they be this changed to where now they're the prom king and prom queen? How did we get to this point, preacher? I don't understand. It's because Joe Biden's president. No, this thing happened way before Joe Biden. Joe Biden is not the problem, my brethren, this evening or this morning. Kamala Harris, or however you say her name, she is not the issue. Barack Obama was not the issue. The issue started back in the late 1800s when the church decided it'll only take two steps behind the world. You like Donald Trump? You didn't. You shouldn't. You wouldn't have liked him 20 years ago. Nobody would have supported him 20 years ago with the way he believed. But you see, the church is always two steps behind, so now he's fine. When before, 20 years ago, you would have took Reagan over Trump any day. You see, because you've been put in that water and it's starting to boil, you don't even realize you're being boiled. We've neglected God. And we put more faith and trust in our government than the word of God in Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, you're fired up. Absolutely, I'm fired up. Because I'm tired of seeing lives and families and kids being ruined. My heart breaks when I see two girls in a picture that was giving me hugging each other. My heart breaks for it. Because that's all they know. How did it get to that point? How did it get to that point? It doesn't happen overnight. And the devil knows that. You see, you couldn't put over on the crowd in the 40s and 50s Marilyn Manson. You couldn't have taken AC/DC and put it back there in the 20s and they'd accepted it. But to now, you got AC/DC being played in the church. You wouldn't even play AC/DC in a bar in the 20s, much less in a church. Why is there no power? Why is there no power? Because men are like women, women are like men, kids are like parents, parents are like kids. The Bible says in Isaiah, women shall rule over you and children shall be your oppressors. Is that not where we're at today? Do not women rule over men and children basically run their parents? It's a fulfillment of prophecy. Why? Brethren, because we turn our back on God. We've turned our back on God and what God desires, and we wonder why the divorce rate is through the roof. You know what? The divorce rate is coming down. But you know why the divorce rate is coming down? Because less people are getting married. They're just living together. And so they leave. It's never recorded because they never got married. I love you. If you don't think I love you, there's nothing more I can say. I care for you. I try to pray for you. But a preacher can only do so much. And if I'd get up here and not say what I need to say because I'm intimidated, then I need not be a preacher. If I don't have no more friends, nobody wants to be around me because of what I said this morning, so be it. But at least I said what God put on my heart. You think Jeremiah had a lot of friends? You think Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a lot of friends? I didn't see the whole nation of Israel wanting to jump in that furnace with those three boys. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God's just looking for one. Will you join up with me this morning? Will at least one of y'all just join up with me this morning and forsake this world and all its desires and all its lust and all its glitter and all its fame and everything it desires to offer to you? And will you join up with me and serve Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Just one. Just one. Will you just join up with me? Will you just join up with me and try to help me, and I'll try to help you to draw closer to God? Just one. I just need one. Just one to help stand in the gap. Close with 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Go back on over there again. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 4. You say, preacher, I can't. Yes, you can. Preacher, I can't. I can't. I got this going on. I got that going on. Reprioritize. Preacher, if I do right, my wife might leave me. Preacher, if I try to do right, my wife might leave me. I thank God for my father-in-law. Because when he got saved, he started doing right and his wife left him. But I don't know if I'd be saved this morning if he didn't take that step for God. Because he's one of the main players that led me to the Lord. But it cost him his wife of 30-some years. But you know what he said? He said, I'm going to serve God. I'll love you as long as I love you. I'm not going to leave you, but if you leave me, I've got to serve God. She ended up leaving him. And they ended up marrying my wife's mama. And he witnessed to me. He had patience with me. He had grace with me. But it came at a great cost to that man. You say, preach, if I start doing right, this individual might leave. Who's more important, God or that individual? Why is there no power? Because we've turned our back on God. 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You see, that individual in your life that you want to see get saved might not get saved till you turn your back on them to follow Christ. Do you see this morning? that one you care about might not get saved till you stop worrying about them and facing them and trying to do for them, and you say, I'm just going to leave it in the Lord's hands, and you turn your back on them because you're going to now serve your Savior. They might see that, and they might then follow along. Read Pilgrim's Progress. His wife and children didn't start following till he went forward. And then they followed after. Strongholds. What's a stronghold in our society today? Depression, anxiety, worry, fear. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Is there something in your life that you can't get away from? Is there something in your life that has such a strong hold on you that you can't break free from it? Jesus Christ can help you with that this morning. Verse number 5 says, casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see, this battle today, this battle this week, the battle the rest of our life is not carnal, but it's a spiritual battle. And the only way you're going to get victory, the only way you're going to be able to pray effectually, the only way you're going to have to be an overcomer in this life, it starts with verse number 5, by casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Imagination is this, the power or faculty of the mind by which it conceives and forms ideas of things communicated to it by the organs of the senses. What is pushing the imagination of our society today? The sinfulness and wickedness it's watching on a continual basis and that it's listened to on a continual basis. It's creating imaginations in the mind that are only coming from the pit of hell. How could a young lady give birth at a party, have birth in the garage where the party's taking place, give birth to the child, put it into a garbage bag, put it in a garbage can, and go back into the party and continue party on? How did we get to that point? How do we get to a point to where a father can take his little girl daughter to a parking lot and sell her out to men to make money? Yeah, I've dealt with a number of girls who had that done to them. How does a father get to that point to where he could do that to his daughter? Because we turn our back on God. You see, the Jews thought that they would never eat their kids. God says, if you go down this road, you're going to get to a point to where the imaginations of your heart's going to be only continually evil. Continually, you get to a point to where you eat your own kids. We'll never eat our own kids. Guess what? They got to a point to where they were eating their own kids. Not only were they eating their own kids, they were arguing over the nonsense, the wickedness. Say, preach, it never happened to me. That's exactly what the Jews said in the Old Testament. It never happened to me. I'll be all right. I'll always know what's right. Not if you neglect God and turn your back on him. Genesis 6:5 says this, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We're almost there. If not there in this country, we're very close. There's very few things you can watch on television or in a movie that's completely pure and clean. Very few. Jeremiah 3:17 says this, at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, the name of the Lord to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. Jeremiah 9:13-16 says, "And the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither have walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them." What are you teaching? What are you teaching this morning? Your life's teaching something. Your life's teaching something. What are you teaching your kids? You know why a lot of kids drop out of church, don't come back to church, don't want nothing to do with church? Because they saw what mom and daddy had. Why would I want to continue in church when that's going on? Our lives teach. Help us to ask God to help you to bring every thought into the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now see, I'm going to, Lord willing, continue on this thing on prayer. But this is the foundation. This is the groundwork. If you're carnally minded, if your imagination is continually on evil things, you can forget about having prayer, having power in prayer. Forget about it. It's not going anywhere higher than this ceiling. You need to consecrate yourself. The Bible says to sanctify yourselves. To sanctify yourself means to set yourself for a holy use and a holy purpose. You see, Aaron just couldn't walk up on in there, that holy of holies. He had to offer sacrifices. He had to wear the right garments. He had to make sure he wasn't sweating, because that's how serious it was to go into the holy of holies. You see, now we have access to the throne of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. But we better make sure as we're gaining access there that we're coming with a clean heart, a clean mind, and a clean spirit. And not in the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. We need to make sure that our conscience is clear. That as far as it's best known in us, we're right with God. And that there's no sin in our life that needs to be made right. And once those things are taken care of, we can now press forward in prayer. But if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time this morning, Lord. Lord Jesus, I noticed was some heavy stuff this morning, dear God. Lord, some serious things, dear Father. But I pray, Lord, that you would just help this morning. Lord, in no way did I mean anything this morning as malicious. Lord, that's not my intent. Dear God, these are serious matters. Lord, I believe they're very, very, very serious matters, dear God. Help us, Lord. Help us to examine ourselves, dear God. And Lord, when you show us something, Lord, help us to be able to pay the sacrifice. Lord, help us to put our whole body, soul, mind, everything on that altar, dear God. Lord, help us to not love the world, neither the things that are in it. Lord, help us to be about your business. Help us to be a church that has power behind it. Help us to be a church that is a witness and a testimony, because you're bearing witness to it, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Father, if there's anything in our life that is quenching your Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray you'd reveal it to us, Lord, and I pray that we would make it right, dear God, that we can have a clear access to the throne, that we can find help in a time of need. Lord, you're worthy of it. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, help us to get it this side of the grave. Lord, help us to get a hold of these things before we cross over. Lord, that can be said of us, Lord, as we go home, welcome home, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, we just ask this now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. If you take your blue hymn book, you got something? What page is that? 31. All right, we're going to use the chorus book, page number 31. Page number 31. Chorus book. If you can stand, if you can't stand, that's all right. But if you can stand, let's stand and sing page 31 in the chorus book. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Have
decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me. The cross before me.
The world behind me. The cross before me.
The world behind me. The cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. The world go with me. Still
Amen. Brother Brian, can you just close in prayer, brother?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for allowing us to be here today. Lord, we're thankful for this church. Lord, we're thankful for our pastor. Lord, most of all, we're thankful for Jesus Christ, Lord. I believe you met with us here today, Lord. We're thankful for this message. Pray that you'd help us to just think on this. Think on where we stand with you, Lord, our walk with you. Lord, help us to just ponder this message throughout the week, Lord, that it would challenge us, Lord, to put away carnal things, Lord, and rather just follow after you with everything we have, Lord. Help us to see past everything this world has to offer and realize it means nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we're so thankful to have the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for getting us here safely. Pray that you get us all home safely later, Lord. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that after this service we get to be a part of a wedding service, Lord. Just the way you planned it, Lord. A man and a woman joining together, Lord. And we pray that you would fill them with your Spirit. Bless this marriage, Lord. Help them to love each other, Lord, and to love you and go forward serving you together. We pray that you would just use this marriage for your glory. We're so thankful for them and their friendship in this church. I know we love them very dearly, Lord. We just pray that you put your hand on their marriage as they go forward together. Lord, again, I just thank you for what you did here in this service. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't leave here, but Lord, rather we take this message with us, Lord. It'd challenge us. We'd be encouraged to walk with you every day. Lord, we just thank you so much. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Love you, brethren. We're going to take about a 25-minute break here, and we'll start doing the 12:30.